Praise team. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, where we're going to be spending most of the time today. And thankfully, I have my voice back. This is the first day. My throat has been hurting all the way up until about Friday. So it's been the last 3 weeks. So remarkably, thankfully, miraculously, it just kind of quit on Friday. And I'm glad it did. So I'm looking forward to this, and I am really looking forward to teaching this message today. You know, I want to tell you something. A lot of times when I'm preaching, I'm preaching to myself. Today, this message is for me. I just want you to know that. I don't know if anybody else is going to get anything out of this, but it's all for me. You know, God sometimes speaks, and he says, Mike, this is for you. You need to understand this, but I want you to share it with everybody else. And this is what he laid on my heart. But Jeremiah chapter 1 talks about how Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. You know, we're in this series called How to Live a Better Story, Living a Better Story. And this is a big part of it. And Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, but he was intimidated when God called him. When God said, I want you to be a prophet for me, he was intimidated. When God calls you to do something, it's often intimidating. It's scary. Well, how do we have this deep sense that God called us and chose us to do things for him? For the part in the story that he's cast you in. You see, God's story is great and it's big, and we all play this little bitty part in this great big story somewhere. How do we have this deep sense that God called me to something inside his great story? And I don't know about you, but I struggle with this. And probably many other people struggle with this. And when we get into this part and we say, okay, well, I do have a part in God's story, we can go one of two different ways. We can either get so prideful that we think, God, you are so lucky to have me on your team, right? God, you're so lucky to have me to be able to do this for you and say these words and sing these songs and teach these classes. And God, you're so lucky to have me. Or we can go the opposite way, and we can have this lack of confidence. It's lack of confidence. Days, you know, I don't know about you, but there's days when you get a little bit too mad at your kids, and you'd say things that you really don't need to say or mean to say. Y'all just probably lead Bible studies from Ezekiel all day long, don't you? That's what y'all do, right? You know, I think at times in my life, I can be such a bad example of what God wants me to be, about what he wants me to portray and how he wants me to live my part of the story in his big story. And this lack of confidence that I have on those days just breeds just condemnation in my life. And I get discouraged. I get beat down. And Jeremiah, we see when God called him, he was intimidated. If you got your Bibles open there, look at verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4, it says, the word of the Lord came to me. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you want the word of the Lord to come to you today? How many of you? Just a few? Y'all need to wake up. I want the Lord of God to come to me today. I want it to spill down and overflow in this place. I want it to be big. I want this to happen here today. The word of the Lord came to me and he said, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. But I protested, oh no, Lord God, look, I don't know how to speak since I'm only a youth. Then the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth, for you will go to everyone I send you to and speak whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to deliver you. This is the Lord's declaration. Then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth And he told me, look, I have filled your mouth with my words. See, today I have set you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to demolish, to build and to plant. You see, the title of today's message is Cancel the Audition. Cancel the Audition. How many of you guys are big reality show fans? Anybody? Anybody reality TV fans? You know, some of you are, yeah. Some of you are brave enough to say, yeah, I am. Who has heard of the show called The Voice? Anybody heard of the show called The Voice? Anybody seen the show called The Voice? A few of you. Well, this is a reality show that is an audition. It's a singing show. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like American Idol. I don't even remember what network these things are showing on. One of them's ABC, NBC, whatever. It's, I think they're on differing networks. It's probably their answer to American Idol. Of course, where American Idol comes in, you walk into this room and you're singing in front of this panel of judges, and they're trying to win their way, you know, to win the competition, and the best singer obviously wins the competition. But the judges see the person who is trying out. Well, the difference in the American Idol and The Voice, if you haven't seen The Voice, it's pretty dramatic. Now they got a new show on. I was watching it last night. Have you heard of the show called The Taste? Anybody heard of The Taste? One, a couple of you. It's brand new. I just saw it last night for the first time. Has a similar thing, but it has to do with food instead of singing. You know, they're getting real sneaky. I'm getting tired of the singing thing, but I love food. So, you know, TV's just pulling at me. It's just, come on. I want you to watch me. And so what happens is in this show, The Voice and The Taste, both of them, either way, you have this person who's trying out, auditioning for these judges. But in The Voice, there's four judges, and they're all sitting in these big red chairs. And the chairs are turned around backwards, where all they see is the audience. They don't see who's singing on the stage. And they've got this button that's in front of them on this chair. This person comes out, and they start singing and auditioning for these panel of judges. And if the judge likes them, he hits his button. Boom, the chair spins around and basically says, I want you on my team. I'm gonna pick you. I think you're good, but I'm also going to coach you so that you can win this competition. So it's a matter of saying, I hear what you have. I like what you got. I want what you got. I'm choosing you to be on my team. The taste works the same way, except with food. This person cooks his food, this dish. They bring it out. They eat one bite of it. And they're standing there, and they're listening. They're behind this panel that the judges can't see them, and they're tasting their food, and they say, okay, whether I like it or not, I'm gonna choose you to be on my team. And they pick them, and it's same principle. Everybody follow me? We're with me, right? You see, when I'm watching shows, I'm thinking, how can I use this? I got to preach every Sunday, right? I have to teach. I have to say something, and it's great illustrations, these things. But I'm not choosing you based on your appearance. I'm not choosing you based on what's on the inside of you. I'm choosing you based on something else. Think about Samuel and David. Samuel goes to pick the next king, the king of Israel. God says, I want you to go to the house of Jesse, and I want you to look at his sons, and the king's going to come for one of his sons. Samuel walks up, and he looks at the first one, and he's tall and really handsome and chiseled and cut, and looks great. Well, this must be the king. No, it's not. I want you to choose the youngest and the smallest, David, to be the next king. You see, man, we look at the outward appearance. We look at the things on the outside, how they perform, how they do all these things. But God says, I'm going to look on the inside. I'm going to see what's going on in your heart to choose you. What matters most is on the inside. And the part that you play in God's grand story is not based on what other people see in you right now. It's not based on the things that are on the outside. It's not based on how well you can speak. It's not based on how well you can sing. It's not based on what you look like. It's all on the inside. God cares about your heart. Aren't you grateful that God sees our hearts and not what's on the outside. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Think about that. This is deeper than just appearances. This is going to bring tremendous liberty to your life. If you think, if you're sitting in this room right now, that you're not good enough to do anything great for God, this is going to bring liberty to you. God came to Jeremiah and he said, I chose you before you were even part of the story. You know, Janelle, she's back in the kids right now. And Janelle, she can come to me and say, I love you. She's my wife. She loves me no matter what. She loves me even though she lives with me. Right? She knows my worst days, my worst thoughts, my bad habits, all the things. She knows everything about me, and she still loves me. It's the greatest kind of human love that we can possibly have. That's it. That's it. Now, you guys, you might say, well, I love Pastor Mike. I love he's great. But you see me on my best. You see me with my best appearances. You see me on my best behavior. You see me when I'm trying to speak the best that I can all week long. You see me on my best. But she knows all my weaknesses. And she still says, I love you. That's powerful. When God called you, he chose you not based on something that you can't see. He chose you based on something that you haven't even done yet. Do y'all understand that? He chose you just like he chose Jeremiah. Before the foundations of the earth, before you were even part of the story, before you were even thought in your mom and dad's mind, he chose you. He turned the chair around before you even sang the first note. He said, yes, I want you on my team before you even measured the first scoop of spices that you were going to put in your plate. Before you even started singing, he says, I want you. He knew you. He formed you. And he chose you. One thing that I struggle with in my life is that I am always looking for approval. I look for approval. Trying to get somebody to think well of me. Trying to get somebody to accept me. And the same thinking goes with people. You know, as we go through life and we try to get people to accept us in one way or approve of us in one thing or another, this thinking transfers to God many times, oftentimes. We start thinking, and I start thinking, well, if I can just read my Bible and study my Bible better, that God's going to approve me and shower blessings down on me. If I can just preach a better message, a better sermon, that more people would sit in these seats and come listen to what God has to say. If I can just pray a little bit harder, if I can stay on my knees a little bit longer every day, that God would bless the ministry. And I struggle with this. We try to do these things and start these things and stop things. And God, will you please turn your chair around? God, would you please push that button for me? Will you choose me? Will you accept me if I just do this or that? And this is what God is saying. If you don't get anything else today, the one thing I want you to hear and listen is that you need to cancel the audition because God has already chosen you. You've already got the part. You don't need to audition for Him anymore. It's not based on your talent. If it was based on your talent, you wouldn't even be included on the show. Did you guys know that there's an audition before the audition on The Voice? I had a friend, my worship pastor in Las Vegas. They called him up and said, hey, we want you to audition for The Voice. He was on American Idol and made it all the way to Hollywood. He was a very talented singer. But he said, we want you to come audition. So he went to audition to be on The Voice, and he didn't make it. God says, if it's based on your talent, you wouldn't even be on the show. You wouldn't even be in the room with us. Not even there. You see, how can you impress God with something that he put in you? Everything that you have came from him. How are you going to try to impress him with that? He chose you based on something that you would never, ever be able to do in your life. And I'm always trying to prove it. Always trying to prove it, mostly to myself. I think, you know, if I can grow a church to a certain number of people, then I'll be a success. I'll be a successful pastor. God, if I can see a certain amount of people give their life to Christ, then I've made it. I'm doing something for God. I'm doing something for you. If I can see a certain amount of people surrender to ministry that say, I'm willing to give up everything I have and go around the world, or surrender to preach the gospel of Christ, I think if I can just see that, who am I waiting on to turn around? You know, and it's really not different for many other people. I would venture to say that there's probably some of you at one point in your life, some probably mostly ladies, even maybe some men, who think, you know, if I can just lose a few pounds, that I would be successful. I would be approved of other people. There's probably some men out there that think, if I could just make a few thousand more dollars, then I would be a successful provider and father for my house. If I can just accomplish this in my workplace, then I will be okay. We think that we will be fit to play the part, that we can just audition and try out. If we can just do these things, God will turn around and notice me. Mom and Dad will turn around and notice me. Teachers, my teachers will notice me. They'll turn around and accept me. My boss, if I can just play the part, my boss will turn around and I'll start to get credit for the things that I do. Is this helping anybody? You see, I don't have to wait. If God put something in me, if he anointed me, if he appointed me, if he called me to do something for him. You see, a long time ago, God looked down a little bitty old town in northeast Arkansas called Wynn, and he said, I want to place somebody right there. He looked at my family. He said, there's a girl named Janelle, and there's going to be some kids named Alexa and Thomas and Nathan. And he said, I want Dad to be called Mike Ellis. And I want to call him. I want to place him and put him in there. And I want him to do my will in that place. That's the man that I want for this part in my part of the story. Knowing that I came out of generations of farmers, and out of this that there's no way that I can stand on this platform and say, well, I came from a long line of preachers. But he said, you're going to come from farmers that all you know is dirt, and that's all you've come from. That I can stand up here and say, out of this, that there's nothing in me, that it's God in me that allows me to stand and speak and preach to you today. Not going to live my life auditioning for a role that I already have, that God gave me and placed in me before I was ever born. You have the part. Just play it. You have my love. Just live in it. You have my acceptance. You need to walk in it. You have earned through Jesus Christ to be able to stand in God's presence, Now just stand in it. Just stand there and live in the hope of your calling that God has placed you in. I hope you're getting excited this morning. I hope you're understanding what God has done for you. He's called you. He's placed you in that. Now let's flip over to 1 Corinthians. And Paul, another character in the story of God, where he called Jeremiah, but he also called Paul in a totally different context, in a totally different way. And Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthian church where there's some problems in the church. There's some problems there. And he's saying, I need to correct this. There was unity problems. There was problems thinking about how that there were certain things that you need to do to be able to get into God's kingdom, that your own ability, that your own intellect gets you favor with God. And he was writing to correct these things in Corinthians. And, you know, we think about it. We do the same thing today, that if I just do this or that, this whole game of just trying out. Verse 26 in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. He said, brothers, I'll say brothers and sisters since we're a mixed company this morning. Consider your calling. Consider your calling. I'm going to ask you a question. What were you when God called you? What is the verse we just read back in Jeremiah? What were you when God called you? Nothing. You were even thought of on this earth when God called you. Consider your calling. You were nothing when God called you. And we think in some way, in something that we can do all these things to accomplish things for God. And on these days that we think we have nothing at all to offer God, just think about what you were when God called you. You were nothing. He called you before you did anything good. He called you before you did anything bad. He called you when you were absolutely a thought in his mind. He started with what he wanted to do in the world. And then he made something to fulfill a purpose. And that something is you. Consider what you were when God called you. And it's not because of what you have. He says, not many are wise from a human perspective. Not many powerful, not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen the world's foolish things. Well, bless your heart, to shame the wise. God has chosen the world's weak things to shame the strong. And if you just don't get it yet, God has chosen the world's insignificant and despised things, the things viewed as nothing, so that he might bring to nothing the things that are viewed as something. You know what we are in God's great plan and all his story? We're the person that they let on American Idol just so that America could get a laugh. That's what we are. You ever seen the movie Twins? Heard of the movie Twins? Anybody? Go ahead and put the picture up. There's a picture of it. Twins. Long time ago, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito. These two guys. Of course, the whole movie was all about the comparison between the two. You know, Arnold at that time, he was rock hard, chiseled. You know, he was a man's man. He was the guy that everybody wanted to be like, I'll be Buck, you know, kind of thing. And Danny DeVito was the exact opposite of that. Small, short stature, you know, body didn't have anything really going for him. And you know, thinking about this and how it fits, the point was this: the contrast between these two. And you think about this, you think, well, if I could just be Arnold, if I could just pump some more iron, you know, get a little bit more buff, get a little bit more ripped, get a little bit more of this, I can be a part of God's story. Not literally, you know what I'm talking about. I can be a part of God's story. I need to bulk up a little bit. You know what God says? He says, Ellis, I picked you because you're Danny DeVito. Jesus is Arnold. I want somebody who's weak. I want somebody who's small so I can show off how strong I am. I want somebody small so I can show off how big I am. I want somebody who struggles in their life so I can accomplish amazing victories. You see, when we realize that we are cast by God, He didn't pick you for your strengths or your weaknesses. You got to stop trying. You got to stop trying out. You need to start living out of a place that knows that you've already got the part. All through the Bible, people struggle with this stuff. Moses struggled with it. He said, I can't speak. I can't speak. I can't go to Pharaoh and say these things. He said, well, who put the voice in you? Who gave you that voice? Who gave you that stuttering? I did. You're the person that I chose before you were born. You were the person that I chose to deliver the Israelites out of slavery. I put you together this way. Who is the one who put the voice inside of you? I know all these things. I turned my chair around a long time ago. Before you even got here, I turned around. You already have what it takes. Just go do what I told you to do. I want you to know that you are perfect for your part. The very thing that you want to hide in your life is the very thing that God wants to use. God says, I want you to live your life with intentionality and with drive. I'm not going to show up and do what God called me to do in order for Him to choose me anymore. But I'm going to so that He can use me. You see, when we're vulnerable in our lives, God doesn't use you because you're put together. He uses those who are in pieces, those who are broken. He does this so you and I can say that I'm done trying out. I'm done auditioning. If I don't ever get another promotion, if I don't ever lose another pound, if I don't ever see another person come to Christ under my ministry, if I don't ever see another person walk down this aisle and join this church, if I don't ever see another person surrender to ministry, I already have the part. God chose me before the foundation of the world. You and I serve a God who custom tailored you and I for the part that only you and I can fulfill. He chose you. A few years ago, one story in my life that played a major, major part and shaped where I am right now. There was a, it was a couple years after I got saved, back in 1998, 99, somewhere in there. The worship pastor at our church was putting on an Easter play. And I was getting to know him and start to talk to him a little bit. And I never was much on dramas or plays. And yeah, I played in a church little play a long time ago back when I was little. And didn't do much about it. Never was into drama. I tried out for the drama team in junior high and was pretty much embarrassed and never said come back again. So I stayed away from drama. I wasn't good at the acting thing. Never thought I was. I could never memorize anything. I was not disciplined enough to memorize things. And Mark came to me. That was our worship pastor. He came to me. He said, hey, we're coming up on this Easter play. It's called The Sacrifice. And I was wondering if you'd be interested in, I need a part that needs to be filled. I was wondering if you'd be interested in doing it. I was like, you know, I can't talk. I can't do that. I can't memorize things. I said, well, how big a part is it? You know, it's. He kind of put his head down. And he said, well, it's just the biggest part in the whole thing. I was like, no, there's no way. You know, maybe two or three lines, something like that. This was like 12 pages of memorization that had to be done. I was like, there's no way I can do that. He said, okay, yeah, never mind. I was crazy for even asking. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So he was coming over to our house one night, and a couple days after that, or maybe the same day, I can't remember now, he said, hey, we ate dinner and got finished, and he was about to leave. He said, I brought that script with me. It's like, oh, really? Surprise, surprise. He said, hey, just read it for a second. I said, okay, tell you what. Let me just read it, and I'll just read it the way I would do it. And you tell me if that's what you want. So I read it, and as soon as I finished, he just grabbed me and hugged me. He said, you're perfect. You're perfect. So things went on. I told God I took it, and I said, this is the first time in my life that I ever stepped out of my comfort zone and decided to do something great for God. I said, God, I got on my knees in my bedroom, and I said, God, if this is something that you want me to do, if this is what you want out of my life, if this is the part that I'm supposed to play in this grand story of yours, then I want you to make this come so crystal clear, so easy that there's no doubt in my mind. Within 1 week, I had the whole thing memorized. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that because I'm impressed. Because I couldn't do that. That was God. A few weeks later, we do the play. The first night, we passed out cards, you know, that were there. There were 600 people there the first night. We were going four nights straight. Every one of them were packed out. The first night, passed out these little cards that were decision cards, and you could check on there any decision that you made. There were over 40 decisions for Christ the first night. And I came home after that, and I realized that God, for the first time in my life, that I had surrendered and put myself out there and said, okay, God, you chose me for this. You picked me for this. I'm going to put myself out there. It was the first time that I was in the center of God's will, doing exactly what He chose for me to do before I was even born, that impacted the kingdom of God for more than 40 people in one night. Impacted their eternity. You see, Mark already knew who he wanted. Mark already chose who he needed to fill that role. You see, where I thought I was weak, God said, no, you're going to be strong. And from that moment, that is the beginning point to where I got on my knees and said, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever it is you want me to say, I'll say it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And I wouldn't be standing here in front of you guys today if it wasn't for surrendering at that moment back in 1998. How long are you going to hide the weaknesses in your life that you think you have, that God wants to put on display and show the world His strength? God chose the insignificant things so that no one can boast in his presence. But from him, you are in Christ Jesus, who for us became the wisdom from God, as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In order that, as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. God is looking for weak people. God is looking for the people who always don't have the answer. God is looking for those who don't always get it right. For those who don't really fall in step with everything else. For those who aren't disciplined. For those who struggle with the same things over and over and over again. That's who God's looking for. God, since you turned around, I know you made me. God, you chose me. God, I surrender all to you. My life is yours to begin with. My life is yours right now, and I am canceling the audition. You got the part. Not because of who you are. You got the part because of who you're related to. You're related to Jesus Christ. And you've got the part. So what do we need to do? Ladies and gentlemen, church, it's time to cancel the audition. Because you got the part. Are you going to play it? Are you going to step up to it? Don't stay. Don't wait another day. Don't let another day pass trying out. Cancel the audition. Let's pray. Father. Father, we praise you that you called us and you chose us. That you picked us before we had ever done anything good or bad. God, that you made us the way you wanted to fulfill a specific purpose in this life. Father, I pray for anybody in this room right now that is struggling with this issue. And God, I know I'm preaching to myself. God, I pray that I remember when we stop the audition. We cancel it today. Father, we want you to move. Father, we want you to fall on this place during this time of commitment. Lord, that we look to you in all things. That it's all about you. Father, let this be your time. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you look forward, now's the time when we do business with God. If this is something that you struggle with, maybe just there in your seat, you need to say, all right, I'm stopping this audition right now. Maybe you need to come down front. However God leads, you need to move. Let's stand as we sing, as Derek leads us this morning. However God spoke to you.